Here's a dance you should know. When the lights are down low, grab your baby then go. I do the huckabuck, I do the huckabuck. If you don't know how to do it, boy, you're out of luck. Push your baby out, then you hunch your back. Start a little movement in your sacroiliac. Wiggle like a snake, waddle like a duck. That's the way you do it when you do the hucklebuck.
Hey, not now. Bet and Steny will tell you when. Hey, girls, start talking.
Yeah. Hello.
Hello, people of Earth, Hucklebuck Nation.
People of Earth, welcome to the Hucklebuck. I am Steny.
And I'm Bet.
We're Bet and Steny. I just closed the tab that has the timer. So, Bet, you're our official timekeeper this week.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
Almost 1 minute has passed.
Yeah, it's fine. I'll keep an eye on my watch. Yes, yeah, the Hucklebug. It's episode 712. We're Bet and Steny, and this is the Hucklebug episode 712. No specific...
No specific, but, you know, in two episodes...
The thing that we thought it was going to be.
Oh, yeah. The special one.
Yeah, the special one. It's coming. All right. I'm excited. I'm excited about 714. We have no rips this week, which we're both very excited about. So instead, we're going to jump right in with your shout-out.
Roar!
And our first shout-out on Hucklebug.com is for Lily!
Well, you know, Nick's bigger now. He's harder to catch.
Nick the adult, not the cancer.
Right.
Why don't you take that? You want to take that?
Well, she said, so, since you never saw it, here is a link to the Big Bang Theory clips with James Earl Jones, which,
right.
You know, he passed. Lily. Oh, no, sorry. I'm sorry. I know you hate Blazing Saddles. That's a line for Blazing Saddles.
It's not that I Lily, hate. Lily, I just don't find it that funny, and I don't get the references to it.
Okay.
I haven't seen it a million times.
But she sent me a YouTube link of James Earl Jones being on The Big Bang Theory. Lily, it makes me love him even more. And I tell you, I can't help but think if some nerd came up to him. That is exactly how he would have acted.
We like to hope so anyway, don't we? Now, I have not watched this. I have not watched these clips yet, but I've put it in my watch later.
Just loved it, Lily.
Lily's given us some good links, actually, and we're going to be checking them out later tonight. Thank you, Lily, for your shout-out. Our next shout-out is for Tina. Stand in the place where you live.
Now leave us a comment.
She says, hi, Bet and Steny. Love the show. It's just like eavesdropping on your weekly catch-up. Yeah, that's kind of the point, I think. Mm-hmm. Helene. Is it Helene? Helene? How is the hurricane's name
Helene
pronounced?
Helene is what we called it.
That's what I thought.
Well, we called it hail, but Helene was
Sounded awful. And like you say, people a lot worse off, but I know it did not feel like it sitting in the dark on your own. So well done.
You got that, Tina.
Yeah. Milton, though, I heard is even worse. They're just touching down in different places. Yeah. She said, was the pub in London we went to with Shay or when we went to the South Coast? It was a long time ago.
It was just you and me and Terry.
Oh, okay.
And it was on the South Coast, yeah.
South Coast, okay. She says she hardly remembers yesterday. I was thinking of you going back to work and how manic it would have been, but you survived to tell the tale. Pat and Brian were in the UK again. Weymouth is not that far from me now, about an hour and a half. You guys could have gotten together.
I know, and I told Brian that. I said, you could have met Tina.
Too late. Too late now. Got to do it next time, I guess. Hope you enjoy your week off, Bet. Take care, both. Until next time. Thank you, Tina.
Interesting.
Yeah.
But
perhaps here as well.
But, you know, the number one thing about a week off, I wasn't at work.
That's the best thing. That's the best. That was the one thing you could tell yourself, no matter how bad your day was going by at home. You can go, well, at least I'm not at work. Thank you guys for your shout outs over on Hucklebug.com. Now we will move over to Facebook, where we have several more comments waiting for us. And this one is for Lily.
Lily! Well, yeah. And I have to tell you, Lily, I haven't seen this yet, but immediately afterwards, I'm going to go.
Yeah, we're going to check this out.
Because I actually linked it and saw what it's called, and I thought, I got to see this. Yeah. She says, howdy. Howdy.
Howdy.
I was just stumbling down a YouTube rabbit hole. Oh, have we all been there?
We know about those.
When I came across this new video where he goes exploring Beefield, I will reserve judgment on some of the dumb questions he asks. Not quite as bad as "so you all have teeth." But some teeter a bit in that direction, but I suspect you will know most of the places and some of the people. I cannot wait, Lily.
We're going to check this out. Yeah, this is another one I've saved for my watch later.
I just saw this, I didn't go there because I really want to watch and process it.
Yeah, but it's a half hour long, so Bette and I agreed that we did not have time to watch it before the Hucklebug.
Yep. Oh, and then she follows up by saying, oh my God, after I posted this, I finished up the end of the video and the first ad that came up on YouTube was, are you missing five or more teeth? People, we have teeth here. They may not be beautiful, but they're teeth.
You know, that only came up because Lily left that comment, I think.
Yeah, otherwise, you know, we around here we call them summer teeth.
Summer teeth, some aren't.
Yeah, some are here, some are there.
Some are in the backyard. Our next shout out is for Kelly. She says, Bette, sorry about having to deal with your own house troubles and then all your insurance clients, but so glad you live in such a great town.
Oh, yeah.
She says, you must both look for clips of James Earl Jones and Sheldon. It is so funny. They sing. Okay, you had me right there.
That's great.
If you didn't look yet, please seek it out. So I have not yet watched the link that Lily left us on .com. There's a lot of, you guys are Johnny on the spot with the links
really?
This week. So I've built up a good old watch later for myself later tonight, including the summer teeth people and James Earl Jones on Big Bang Theory. So I will be checking that out. So certainly by next week, you'll all have heard from me. Our next shout out's for Doug. We are the Doug. We are the structure.
And I haven't watched this either. Is it short? Should I? Have you?
It is all you need to do. If you don't even need to, but it is a to the song "There's a Light Over at the Frankenstein Place" from.
Okay. Well, he says Bette driving by her house looking for the kitchen light, which was like looking for the Holy Grail, people.
Over at the Frankenstein Place. And then Doug also says, Stenny, this is why Pete will never make it in. And he's left a link, a CNN link about Pete Rose, dismisses questions over statutory rape claim in Return to Philadelphia. Doug, I think it's adorable that you think that's the reason that Pete Rose ain't in the Hall of Fame. But believe you me, I'm sure the Baseball Hall of Fame has a lot of statutory rapists.
Oh, yeah.
That is not going to be a reason to keep him out. The gambling thing, sure.
I still think it's the haircut.
I think the haircut is a better reason to keep him out than the stats charge. But, yeah. And then there is one more from Doug under the missive that just says, have a great show. Yay. I'm heading out for a short motorcycle ride. And I told Bette, I think he's on his way over to your house to help you clean up.
Well, and that's wonderful because when I posted the missive, it is such a beautiful fall day.
It's gorgeous here too.
So I know that's why he's on his motorcycle.
Hell yeah.
Hair blowing in
the breeze. Under his helmet.
Please be wearing a helmet.
Oh, yes. He's very safe. Yeah, it's a gorgeous day here. There's not a cloud in the sky. The sky is a beautiful shade of blue. It's like 62 degrees. It's perfect. It's such a nice year. All right. Thank you all for your shout outs. We appreciate all of you. And now let us move on with our show, shall we? What do you got for us, Bette?
Well,
you got some movies.
I've got movies, and I have two movies.
I cannot wait to hear about them both.
And the first one, of course, you know, I had a week off. So, you know.
Right.
The first one I watched during the week. Mm-hmm. And it is a movie that is on Amazon Prime for free.
Okay.
A documentary.
Uh-huh.
And I'll try not to get too vehement about it, but...
That's all right, babe.
It's a movie called God and Country.
God and Country. Okay.
And it is about the rise of Christian nationalists.
Ah, yeah.
And let me tell you... my overriding thought at the beginning of watching this movie is that everybody in this country needs to see this movie.
Oh.
But then I realized it doesn't matter because half the country will watch this movie and think it's just totally fake, you know.
Yeah.
But it is about, and you know, it's produced by Rob Reiner. So, you know, it's kind of left-leaning. It's going to be. But the talking heads in this movie run a wide swath. They talk to people who grew up in the church and left it, like me.
Yeah.
They talk to someone who grew up without church and became a Christian as a teenager and still is. They talk to authors and ministers. They talk to an evangelical minister.
Yeah.
So it's not just totally one-sided.
Yeah.
But it is about how the Christian right took over this nation with their total, you know, Christians, it's the teachings of Christ.
Right.
This is the teaching of hate.
Right.
And they show how it's the teaching of hate and how, you know, these... It started in the 70s with Jerry Falwell.
Yeah.
And oddly enough, started from a place where it came from segregation. These people didn't want their schools segregated.
Right.
So you go to a Christian school.
Right.
Where we can keep the black people out.
Yeah. You know? It's a private school. We can do whatever we want.
We can do whatever we want. But then they show these people who have come to power and people watch them and they get up in the pulpit and they say, this is the Bible has told us, this is our country. This is America. It was founded on religion, which it wasn't.
No, we all know it.
And the Bible tells us we have to fight to keep this country. The Bible, America wasn't around when they made up the Bible, you know.
Yes.
It will scare the shit out of you people.
I don't need the shit scared out of me. I don't think I can watch it.
But then after the laying of the history, they go into something called white minority or minority rules.
Yeah.
Which is abortion rights. LGBTQ rights. Over half of America agree that that should be part of the lay of the land. But if there are 30% of Americans who hate it, they're going to do everything they can to manipulate every system to make sure their agenda is met.
Right.
And that's, if you decide to watch this movie and it's really well made. Don't watch it before you go to bed because you won't sleep at night.
I don't. Yeah, there's no way. I'm already terrified about what's going on in our country. Right. I don't think I need to watch a documentary to cement it.
The only thing that I do have to say, and I know all I can say is go vote.
Yes.
But if you're one of those people who are thinking, oh man, it's horrible. I just won't vote this year. Go vote.
Hopefully that isn't any of our listeners.
I've already got my absentee ballot. Yep. So I'm voting.
My voter's pamphlet is sitting here next to me. Yes. My ballot should arrive next week, maybe the week after. I like to think that the people who are listening to this podcast are voting, but if you're not, fucking vote and vote the right way.
Okay, and my second movie, which I caught on the MGM channel, which I have on the upper cable tiers. And it's a movie called Stonewall. I don't know if you know what Stonewall is.
Is it about the Stonewall riots?
The Stonewall riots in 1969 for gay rights.
Yep.
And
the first big gay rights movement, really.
Exactly. And I have always been interested in this, but I haven't read a whole lot about it. And so I thought, oh, wow, I really need to watch this. And so I was watching it. And folks, as a movie, it's not that good. Mm-hmm. Because yeah. it follows...
is it narrative or a documentary?
No, it's a narrative.
Okay.
And it follows a kid from Indiana who's gay, and his mm-hmm. parents kick him out, or his dad kicks him out. Yeah. So he goes to New York, and he meets up with these people in the gay community.
Mm-hmm.
And it has... I don't want to say it steals, but it has got such a vibe from the movie Hair.
Oh, where, yeah.
You know, some middle American goes and meets up with all these weirdos.
Right.
You know, and
fringe people, let's call them.
Well, when I say weirdos, they're just not nice people. They steal. Mm. They're not good people, but they live where they live and they
yeah.
try to survive, and he lives with them. And so that kind of threw me off on it.
Yeah.
But that may have been who started the riots. I mean, you know, if they did, good on them.
They got to be living on the, you know, I mean, you got to be talking about people who are living on the outside looking in, right?
Right,
because
right.
they because at this time in history, they don't have a place in society. So they exactly. have to create their own.
Right. But, you know, if you're walking by a shop and you see a hat you like and you break the window to take in and steal the hat and run yeah. off. That's not good.
You know? No, no. You're not supposed to do that. We all
but
know
if
that.
It happens, it happened.
Yeah.
But anyway, it goes on, and it does go on to have the riots and stuff. But the thing for this movie is that the kid from Indiana has a younger sister who is so smart, and she understands it, and she misses him, and yeah. she loves Andy. All when he goes to New York, all she wants is for him to meet Andy Warhol, you know.
Ah, yeah.
And then his mom, who is under the wing of his dad, but she right. kind of, you know, she kind of knows what he's going through,
right?
And so it goes through all of that. But the final scene of this movie, where they have the first gay pride parade in mm-hmm. New York, ends with a scene that is so implausible that it just ruined everything for me.
I hate that. I hate that.
Yeah. But Stonewall, if you see it on cable, watch it. I'd rather read something factual about it.
There is a good there's a good drunk history episode about the Stonewall okay. riots. Also, if anybody's interested in that, I'll be happy to. I'm sure it's on YouTube.
There's probably a great documentary somewhere.
There probably are lots of great documentaries about the Stonewall riots, and I would encourage people to find out more about that. That sounds good, though. I think I'd probably be a little bit more interested in Stonewall than God and Country, because God and Country just terrify me, and I'm already scared enough as it is. I also saw a movie this week. I watched it last night on Bette's recommendation. My movie this week is Inside Out 2,
which
I'm happy to announce, on Disney. And if you have Disney Plus, you can watch it for free, which is what I did.
And?
Oh, I loved it. I loved
oh,
it.
Oh, good.
I will say I liked the first one better, but I think the first one, you know, this is what always happens when there's sequels,
right?
Just
about a perfect movie.
In the first one, there's so much magic involved in, like, the world building and the idea of, like, core memories and all the rest of it. And
yes.
there was some of that in this, you know, there was the idea yeah. of the sense of self and the idea of, you know, hitting puberty. Although I have to say this, by the time I hit puberty, I was already well acquainted with anxiety and embarrassment. Certainly. Probably envy as well. Not so much ennui. I think yeah. ennui did hit around puberty. That was the only one.
But the whole thing about having core friends that you grew up with, yeah. but you find somebody else you think might be.
Oh, God. Yeah, there was so much
relatable fruit you can pick, you know.
Yeah, there's so much of it that's relatable, and that was true in the first one as well. I mean,
yeah,
the bit where Riley's walking with Val and the other cool hockey players, and she's like, don't swing your arms like that, just walk normal. I do that almost all the time, you guys, and I'm 56 years old. I just walk around and go, what are you doing with your arms, stupid? Just walk normal, always. So very relatable. Loved it. Yeah, big, huge thumbs up, obviously, for Inside Out 2. It is available to rent on Amazon and on Apple TV Plus, I think. But if you have a Disney Plus subscription, you can watch it for free, and it was very good, so I recommend it.
Yay!
Yay! What you got next for us? A pet story.
Well, I have a pet story.
Meow, 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 meow. I want to hear some pet stories. Meow, 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 meow,
meow, meow. People thought that wasn't going to have pet stories anymore, but she does.
But I do, and thank you, Stens, because when I was telling Stens about this last night,
I was like, this is a pet story.
She said, this is a pet story.
That's right. Well, I figured, well, it was last night, and I was figuring, well, if Bette's anything like me, and I think she is, she's probably, Friday night is probably her night to cram for Hucklebug, because that's my night to cram for Hucklebug. So I figured, well, if she's sitting there going, gee, I don't have enough show, there's a pet story.
And it all started with a little picture that I got from my sister that I had to text over to Stens, which just warms my heart for a... my heart has been warmed for a while over this.
Yes.
From either Pat or Taylor and Allison are sending me pictures. You know, they have a German short-haired pointer goose.
Right.
Who I've only met once, but he is the sweetest dog ever.
They're very energetic, German short-haired pointers.
They are energetic, but he is so... Sweet, see nature, how Taylor has trained him, it's amazing.
Yay.
But here's the thing. He has lots of toys that he loves to chew and chew and chew and chew.
Yes.
But I gave him... And I found this in a file cabinet in my drawer, I think on inventory day. and I saw it. It still had the tag on the top. Yeah, and it's a Mr. Beal.
Yeah.
You know, Doug gave Milo his last Mr. Beal.
Right.
But this was a Mr. Beal. And I said, oh, man. Hey, Pat. And I threw it to her and I said, the next time you're in Shawsville, give this to Goose.
Yeah.
Well, all I have gotten are pictures and pictures and pictures of Goose and Mr. Beal.
Yeah.
And Taylor and Allison will send me pictures and they say, you have no idea how much Goose loves Mr. Beal.
Oh, I love it.
And I mean, you know, he doesn't chew him. He doesn't tear him up. He doesn't shake him.
He carries him around. He's his baby.
He treats Mr. Beal like it's his child.
Oh, it's so sweet.
And they'll show me a picture where he's, you know, in his bed and he's laying with his head on the pillow and Mr. Beal is right under his head.
Aww.
And then they, the picture that started this is that Goose is standing at the window of their house, looking out in the yard, and in his little paw is Mr. Beal.
Yeah.
Also looking out the window.
That's right.
He wants Mr. Beal to see outside.
That's right. He needs to look too.
Yeah.
I just love it. It's so sweet. And it's a great, you know what? I'll make sure that I'll post the picture when I put
If you can, that would be fantastic.
100% I will. Yeah. It's the cutest thing, you guys. Yeah. I just love it that...
And another thing is, you know, Mr. Beal does have the little squeaker if you mark him in the right spot.
Yeah.
Milo used to hit that spot. And when he'd go, oh, no. Milo would cry. But now, in their house, Taylor and Allison can just be sitting there and they'll go, oh no! And Goose will go and find
go
Mr.
Get it.
Beal and
bring
him back.
That's so cute. I love that. That's the cutest thing ever.
Oh, woo! I love it. That's my pet story. A dog and his boy.
A dog and his boy. All right. I have a binge watch because I've just been busy, busy, busy watching, watching, watching. This is a limited series that's on Netflix. I don't know if there's going to be a season 2. I hope there is. But there's a first season that's available on Netflix right now, 10 episodes. It's called Nobody Wants This, and it stars Kristen Bell, who, of course, we all love from The Good Place.
I have seen that in my QEU.
And Adam Brody, who I don't know. You know, I feel kind of confident saying also everybody loves. Doesn't everybody love Adam Brody?
I don't really know him. I just know his name.
He, you know, the only thing that I feel like I've seen him in is Gilmore Girls. He was on Gilmore Girls. He was in like 4 episodes, and he played like the boyfriend of Rory's best friend or something, like, right? Oh, so he wasn't even like a main character, but they gave him a big, I think they gave him a big arc because they were like, he's so likable. let's give him a little more screen time. That's the first thing that I ever saw him in. I guess I've seen him in other things as well. Their chemistry, Kristen Bell and Adam Brody, their chemistry together is off the charts. It's so good. They're just smoking off the screen there. It's really, really nice.
Isn't she, though, maybe quite older than he is?
Perhaps. Okay. I don't know. Yeah, probably. She's
Doesn't matter.
A good 5 years on him, maybe. Yeah, maybe 5-6 years. Nothing that would make you go, gee whiz, those two shouldn't be together.
I think Kim is younger.
Yeah, I think he just comes off that way. So I don't know. He just seems like a young guy. He has a beard in this, so that makes him seem not quite.
Okay. Does he smoke a pipe?
No, he doesn't. He doesn't smoke a pipe. It's a romantic comedy, and I think you guys have probably heard me say I'm not really into rom. The romantic comedy genre, I feel, has already shown me everything.
Yeah, and
I,
it's you know, all the like, same.
Yeah. What is nice about this, though, is that it inverts some of those expectations. So when you catch a character who's, you know, the same stupid mistakes you see people make in romantic comedies over and over again, like not talking to the person, like not just asking, hey, could you help me clear this up? You know, well, I think so-and-so is talking to so-and-so. I cannot believe it. Let me see. Let me look at his phone and check his texts or whatever. And it inverts a lot of those things. So it's you see those things coming, but then it'll flip it around on you a little bit. And instead of going where other romantic comedies would go and head towards that, you know, comedy of miscommunication, instead, you know, people put the brakes on and go, you know what? No, you mean too much to me. I want to talk about this honestly, which is so refreshing and nice. They are a couple, and they have a big obstacle, which is that he is a rabbi.
Ooh.
And he's in line for promotion. He's about to get like his first like head rabbi job at like his, you know, family temple that he's been going to since he was a boy. He's like the assistant rabbi or whatever, but he's next in line to be the head rabbi, and he takes up with Kristen Bell, who is obviously a shiksa.
Right.
All right. So, and that's a big obstacle that she can't just go, oh well, then it's fine. I just won't be. You know, I just won't be a shiksa. And it's a really mature look at it, and it's funny and it's sexy. And there's a lot of really good actors in it, and I enjoyed the hell out of it. Again, it's called Nobody Wants This. Oh, the other thing is that Kristen Bell is her profession is she's on a podcast. She and her sister host a like a sex and relationships kind of podcast in which they both talk very, very openly about all the mistakes that they make with men. So, you know, she makes her living talking about her personal life for, you know, for a paying audience.
Just the subject matter alone, I am all over this.
It's wonderful. Oh, and, you know, who's in it is Janet from The Good Place is also in it. Forget her name. Can't remember the actress's name, but she's just got a small part, but it was nice to see her and Kristen Bell back together again. And it's just, I really, really enjoyed it. I think the title's terrible. Nobody Wants This. But other than that, I think it's a big thumbs up. So you check. It's on Netflix. So check that out.
I will.
Good, good. What do you got next for us?
Well, I have a little something called an interesting fact.
Okay.
Which is interesting to me. and no mistake.
And we're going to find out pretty soon.
I hope it will be interesting to all of you. You know, people, we're talking about music. We're going to talk about music.
Yep.
And there
we're
going to
talk about music after this, too.
Yeah, and there is a song. You know, I'm still digging the 60s channel.
Yes.
And so I hear this on the 60s channel a lot. And it's one of those songs, you know, there's Give Me Love, Give Me Peace on Earth by George Harrison that makes me cry. This one makes me cry. Every time I hear it, I sing along and I cry driving around in the car.
Yeah.
The song Dion, you know, the teen idol from the 50s, made this in 68. Abraham, Martin, and John.
Oh, okay.
Okay. It's about the deaths of Abraham Lincoln, John Kennedy, Martin Luther King, and at the end, Bobby Kennedy.
Right.
It's a beautiful song. And I heard it one night driving home. And I thought, man, that song just breaks me up. Who wrote this song? Is it somebody I know? And so I went to Google.
Uh-huh.
And I said, who wrote Abraham, Martin, and John? Well, it turns out, here's the interesting fact, that song was written by a songwriter whose name, and I'm not making this up, is Dick Holler. H-O-L-L-E-R, you know, which we live in hollers.
Right, that's right. Butcher
Dick
Holler.
Right. But he was a producer and songwriter, and he worked with another band a lot, which we'll get to later. And in June of 1968, he was with that band doing some production work when he heard that Bobby Kennedy had been killed. And it broke him up, and he just left the studio, went to his house in Florida. When he got there, he sat down and within 10 minutes had written Abraham, Martin, and John.
Wow.
That's
what happens when inspiration hits people.
Exactly. Reading about it, you know, the interviewers talking to him about it said, did you hear, after you wrote it, did you hear anything from the Kennedys or the Kings? And he said, no, I heard nothing from the families. I heard from a lot of press and a lot of movie stars and stuff, but I just wrote this song. It was what it was.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful, and it will stand forever the test of time for songs that make you cry your eyes out.
There you go.
However, at the time when he learned the news, he was in the studio working with the band that he wrote a song for, a band called the Royal Guardsmen. Do you know them?
No.
Dick Holler, who wrote
Dick Holler.
Abraham, Martin, and John, also wrote Snoopy versus the Red Baron.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
I mean, and a great song in its own right. 20, 30, 40, 50 or more. And so he was there after that doing like probably the fifth song that the Royal Guardsmen ever did about Snoopy versus the Red Baron, which have completely the same lyrics and even the same, you know, Snoopy did this and Snoopy did this. And then there's the sound effect. He change. And it's the same song for, you know.
That's so funny.
But this man could write both of those songs blows my mind. And
that's
it's my
great.
Interesting fact of the week.
I love it. That's a good, interesting fact. I love it. I'm in favor of that interesting fact. Well done.
Because I'm not taking anything away from Snoopy versus the Red Baron.
No, that's a great, again, like you said, it's a great song in its own right. It's just a completely different kind of great song.
Yeah.
All right. I have an Ask Reddit question of the week.
I left this for last because I love the Ask Reddits.
It is music related as well. And I think you'll like this one. All right. The question goes, imagine you're dying. You can only listen to one last song. Oh, what would it be? Now, do you want to think? Okay.
Well, of course, the first one that comes to mind is No Hard Feelings by the
No Aliens. Hard Feelings. I thought of that also, but since that's going to be played at my funeral, I decided I don't need to listen to it on my way out. Do you want me to read a few that are here on Reddit while you think?
Yeah, go ahead.
Because you don't need to. You don't need to rush it by any means.
On my deathbed.
Here's a good one that I think you'll like. Always look on the bright side of life. Monty Python. There's also When the Levee Breaks. Creedence Clearwater Revival, Have You Ever Seen the Rain? Which I think is an interesting choice. It's not one that I would choose. Oh, this person wrote, I'd want to hear my mom sing me You Are My Sunshine like she used to. I had to upvote that. Chumbawamba Tub Thumping, somebody said.
Well, go out with a bang.
And somebody wrote underneath it, ironic, because you won't get up again. Over the Rainbow and What a Wonderful World, the Israeli.
No, never Israel. What a Wonderful World. If I died listening to What a Wonderful World, no.
You Can't Always Get What You Want by the Rolling Stones. Shine On You Crazy Diamond by Pink Floyd. In My Life by the Beatles. Wish You Were Here, Pink Floyd, Comfortably Numb. Pink Floyd is a lot of Pink Floyd. This is a good answer. Anything by Yoko Ono, so that death itself becomes its own reward. It's a good one. That's a good one right there. Agreed. Slow clap. Somebody said The End by The Doors. The Doors.
God, fuck The Doors. I hate them.
The Doors.
But speaking of Yoko, I wouldn't mind Give Peace a Chance.
Oh, Give Peace a Chance.
Were in bed. I'll be in bed.
That's right. I hope I'll be in bed. I hope I'm not, in my car, for example. Don't Stop Me Now by Queen. Oh. Comfortably Numb. Again, Great Gig in the Sky, also by Pink Floyd. Don't Fear the Reaper. Good one. Don't Fear the Reaper. Good one
Fort
to go out
Al
on.
Bell.
Where's the one? Hang on. There was one here. I just wanted to read what this person wrote. There's the song they chose is The Wait by the band.
Okay.
And they go on to say, hello. Really not sure. This Reddit user's name is Jesus Crust, by the way. Jesus Crust says, The Wait by the band. Really not sure why. I was in a Woodstock cover band, and that was my favorite song to play. We had faster and more exciting songs in the set list, but I always felt at peace when playing that one, and I realized it's probably because I'd be okay with that being the last song I ever hear in my life. So I think that was a nice thing to say. Ooh, Into the Mystic by Van Morrison, another good choice.
Well, speaking of Woodstock, the Joe Cocker version of A Little Help with
a little help from my friends.
That would be good. I would go out to that.
Yep. Somebody said Staying Alive, obviously. Hallelujah by Jeff Buckley. Mine is Beethoven's Ninth. I'm going to go out with a big orchestration and lots of joy. That is my plan. If I had a choice. I don't think I'm necessarily going to get a choice, but if I did...
I tend to think of my parents.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, my mom, What I Say by Ray Charles.
Oh, yeah. Why not?
I might tap a toe at the
baby,
end.
What I Say.
And then my dad, of course, Bluegrass. And, there are so many songs about death.
That high and lonesome sound.
High and lonesome sound. Maybe, oh, God.
Well, Foggy Mountain Breakdown. A little Foggy Mountain Breakdown to go out on. That's not bad.
That's not bad. Man of Constant Sorrow.
Ooh, good one.
Yeah.
Oh, somebody's got Mr. Blue Sky by ELL. That's a good one.
Oh, that's a good one.
I love it. Oh, someone else says Vincent by Don McLean. And by the way, that song is the song that Tupac chose to go out with. When Tupac knew he was dying, he put on Vincent by Don McLean. Yeah.
Well,
that was the last song
he
ever heard.
You know, I have to be selfish and say maybe the song that I love, Luck by the Jared Stout Band, which my dear nephew plays guitar on and was in the video. You know, just something that he was part of,
Yeah. Bet, you're not going to believe this. I scrolled way, way down, but somebody else on Reddit chose No Hard Feelings by the Abet Brothers.
Oh,
and I feel
nice.
Really good about that.
Nice.
And they included all of the lyrics as well.
Oh.
And they have two comments.
And maybe the other Abet Brothers song that I love so much, which is called Untitled, but I call it I'm Happier With Nothing.
There you go. There's a lot of good ones. The Ballad of Love and Hate would also be a good one.
Oh, yes.
And February 7 is one that I've been listening to a lot lately, and I fucking love that one. That would be a good one to go out on as well. Listeners, what would be your song if you could choose the soundtrack for your exit to the big life? What song would you be listening to on your way out? And now let's do some U rules and get the heck out of here. Who you got, Bet?
Okay, well, I have two U rules.
Woo! I also have two U rules.
Well, the first U rule I have is for a family in my town.
Okay, yes.
In Parkview Heights, you know, my old stomping grounds where I grew
mm-hmm.
up.
Mm-hmm.
And they are the family M. They start with an M. Okay. And I don't know them. I don't know them from Adam. I used to know the dad's parents back in the 80s, but I don't know them. When I drive around after town, I always go through that neighborhood, and they are there on the corner in the old coal house, as we call it.
Uh-huh.
Not COAL, but COLE.
Oh, okay.
And they have done something that cracks my ass up, and I adore it. For Halloween, they have a little evergreen tree in their yard. And, you know, around here, people buy these, like, 12-foot giant skeletons to put in their yard for Halloween.
Uh-huh.
These people have four, like, 5-foot skeletons. They're human-sized.
Yes.
And they are putting them in scenarios every single day.
Oh, that's great.
And, you know, the thing of it is, when I think about them and I think about people telling me, oh, you have to do the Olympic update, and I don't want to.
Right.
Well, they're doing it every single day.
Well, probably because they want to, though, you know.
Right. But, you know, it started out with just the skeletons decorating a tree, sitting in lounge chairs with red solo cups.
Yeah.
Then one day I went by. And they're all wearing T-shirts with their names on it. Edgar Allan. I don't think there's a Poe, but there's a couple more. And so the next day I went by, and one kid was at a desk in the yard, uh-huh. and the other three were, like, helping him with his homework. And then I went by, and they had a little skeleton puppy. And one of the kids was holding the little skeleton puppy up over his head. When I went by this past day, they're camping. There was a tent in the yard. And one skeleton was, you know, had half of his body out waving. And the others were on sleeping beds in the yard.
Aww.
These people have just cracked me up.
They
have made me so incredibly happy, and they completely rule.
They rule. Yeah.
Yes.
They're setting a high bar for themselves at Christmas, though. We got to see what happens at Christmas.
I did take a picture of the camping, and I'll text to you later.
Perfect.
And I have another you rule, and my God, it is for my sister-in-law, Charlie. Okay.
Charlie, yeah.
Who you may know as I own a trailer,
yep.
And I talked to her way back at the beginning of the week.
Yeah.
Maybe last weekend. And I told her, you know, I was off this week. And we need to get together. We need to do something.
Yeah.
You know. And she said, okay, maybe we can get in the car and go to NARS, which is NARS, and meet up with Terry and have lunch. And I said, well, I don't know. Terry's really busy. But we'll find something to do. And, of course, in the grand tradition of me, all of that goes, because I was working on the refrigerator for 4 days.
Yeah.
And she said, I can't do Thursday because I've got medical stuff. Mm-hmm. And so on Thursday, when I finally took that last bunch of bottles and cans over the thing. I messaged her and I said, I'm so sorry I didn't let this happen. She said, oh, it's okay. It's okay.
Yeah.
And so yesterday, when I was about 3 minutes away, I was sitting on the couch about 3 minutes away from going out to meeting my sister as she came home from work, where I wasn't, to hand her Brian's birthday present, because yesterday was Brian's birthday.
Oh, nice. Happy birthday, Brian.
Yeah. While I was sitting there into the parking lot beside my house, comes a car, and it's Charlie. And she comes in, and she knocks on the door, and I'm yelling, it's open, come in. And so she comes in, and she is carrying this huge thing, a big vinyl case. And I said, Charlie, what the hell is that? And she said, well, it's just something. I'm so happy you got a vacation, and this is your vacation present.
Oh, nice.
And I said, Charlie, what the hell? And she said, don't worry about it. It's your vacation present. I'm so glad you got a week off, but I want you to have fun. And here it is. And I'm pressed for time, so I got to leave. And I said, well, I'm pressed for time. I need to. So I went and did my stuff. Then when I came back home, I took that case and unzipped it. I mean, it's bigger than an album, so it's maybe 14 by 14 inches. And I unzipped it, opened it up, and inside are every pencil, charcoal, paintbrush, every art supply you could possibly imagine.
Wow.
I mean, I thought,
exciting.
I just cried because it was so beautiful.
Oh, that's so lovely.
And you know, I always, that was one thing on my list this week. If I had some time, I thought, well, maybe I'll do something. I'll, you know, do some art or something.
Yeah.
Of course, that never happens because I never have time.
Right.
And so she had a little card with it that said, I'm so happy you got a vacation. Here, have some fun. She is so sweet and kind and generous. I really do love her. And oh, she rules. And I promise you, Charlie, I'm going to do something with this. And when I do, my first piece of art, I'm going to give it to you.
Oh, that's perfect. That is perfect. Yay. I love Charlie. Charlie rules. I also have two you rules this week. My first one is for listener and friend of the show, Marla did me a huge solid this week, and I knew that she would. I knew she would be the perfect person for this particular task. I have been desperate to find somebody who will cut my mother's hair. My mom, as you guys know, has moved into assisted living. They don't have like a stylist who comes around once a month, which I think is terrible. They should
That's
have.
That's awful. They should.
They, they don't. So it's fine. You know, it just means you have to find your own. You got to find your own.
Right.
So I've been, you know, trying to do it, but you know, I'm far away. It's an hour and a half away and I don't know anybody down there and stuff like that. And I was like, Marla, because Marla knows everybody. It's really important, you guys, if you don't have a Doug in your life, to have a Marla in your life, at least if you don't have a Doug, because Marla knows everyone. So I said to Marla, I said, this is something you can totally help me with. I'm trying to find somebody who can cut my mom's hair. Do you think you could ask around to your contacts and see if you can find anybody? Sure enough, she found me a number, a woman named Shannon. I texted her. Shannon's cutting my mom's hair on Tuesday. So thank you, Marla. I appreciate it. I really appreciate your help. And, you know, and she texted me back saying, there you go. One less thing on your plate. I'm so happy to help. She's the best. My second you rule is for you, Bet, because I got your birthday present, and not only did I get the cat's toy, I also got the Birds and Coffee shirt, which I love.
Oh, okay. I was wondering.
Which I love. Yep, that showed up this week. Love that, too. But
the other one just keeps being delayed. I'm sorry.
It's totally fine. I can't wait. I cannot wait to get whatever it is.
I thought of you.
Oh, I love it. It's fantastic. But then the other is the cat toy. That is the gift that keeps on giving. Now, Scout, I'll be honest, Scout hasn't shown a lot of interest in it. But Lincoln loves it. And it is really helped because a lot of times during the workday, Lincoln will decide around 3 o'clock in the afternoon that he really wants me to come and play with him. And sometimes I just can't because maybe I'm in a meeting or I'm doing something real busy, you know, and I'm like, I'm sorry, buddy, but not right now. And anytime he wants to now, he can just go play by himself by playing with that toy because that toy is always charged up. It's this little round thing, you guys. It's like a little activity toy for a cat. And so it's got this like sort of butterfly on a wand on a spring that kind of spins around that's on the top.
And I knew nothing about it when I bought it.
And there's like little balls. And then on the bottom, there's like this one little, there's like this one little feather on a stick that kind of pops out of random holes, like whack-a-mole. And that's Lincoln's favorite part, by the way. But, I mean, he loves it. And so the thing, it comes on randomly. Like if, like we'll be just sitting watching television and it's like, you know, 2 a.m. or something, and all of a sudden the thing just kicks on, and a lot of times Lincoln will wake up and then just go running over to it and start playing. Sometimes he'll just sleep through it, but it has been great. That's a great little toy. Thank you so much.
Timer just went off.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah, it did. So that's pretty damn good. We did good, Tom.
Oh, the timer just went off. I thought you said the power just went off. I'm like,
no, the timer. No. Oh, Lord.
That makes more sense. All right. Well, then that is. It's perfect timing because I just finished my second new rule and we are done with the show. Woo. Hey, gang. Thank you so much for tuning into this week's Hucklebug.
Yeah.
We're not here next week. Next weekend, my siblings are in town, so I'm going to be spending some time with them, and so we cannot do a Hucklebug.
Keep good thoughts for Stinny.
Yeah, please. Hands on the monitor. I have to spend time with my brother and sister.
Remember what song would be your last.
Yeah, please chime in and let us know. If you could choose the very last song you ever hear, what song would that be? And that's not necessarily your favorite song, although it might also be your favorite song. It might just be whatever song you feel like going out to.
Right.
And that's the end of the show. Thank you guys for listening, and we'll be back in 2 weeks. Until that time, I am Stenny.
And I'm Bet.
We're Bet and Stenny, and you've been listening to The Hucklebug. Goodbye, everybody. Bye-bye.
We love you.
That's the way you do it when you do The Hucklebug.
Good old Porky Pickle.
He's a day-to-day pickle, but
he's a day. Of course, he's a day-to-day pickle.